Joining me today is a very, very remarkable guest coming at us, I think, from Japan. His name's Benjamin Fulford. Some of you may have known him as a former contributor to Forbes magazine. Ben, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. It's good to be on.
It's been quite a few years. In fact, it's not since the tsunami and Fukushima disaster that we've spoken last. I presume a lot has happened since then.
Well, yes, you can tell. I mean, the world is changing in ways that are no longer deniable. Just last week, you had England, Germany, Italy, and France, together with Australia, break with the United States and agree to join the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, which means that the post-war U.S.-led financial order is over. I mean, that's the G7 is now down to G3, that's Japan, U.S., and Canada, and I don't think Japan's going to be on there much longer either. So we're witnessing the end of the post-World War II order and the beginning of something new, very different from what we've had in the past.
Well, exactly how different is it going to be? I mean, geopolitically, is anything changing? Because most of the people I speak to simply say that it's just getting worse.
Well, it's getting worse for the West because they have a financial leadership that is criminal, and they're stealing from everybody. I mean, the banks now, for example, trade, I think, more than 1,000 times foreign exchange per day than there is in the underlying economy. And the stock markets are also, you know, dysfunctional, parasitical things now. They're not reflecting real market forces anymore. And so what they're doing basically is these financial oligarchs are stealing from the average person in the West in order to keep themselves from going bankrupt. But They're still going to go bankrupt. I mean, it's mathematically certain, and it's happening. And until that happens, it's, you know, everything is going to get worse for the average person. But when it's over, it'll be suddenly like what happened in Russia after Putin came in and kicked out the oligarchs. The average Russian's living standard doubled within a year. So if, for example, the American people were given back the money that was stolen from them by the central bank fraud, I think there'd be about enough for at least $400,000 for every man, woman, and child in the U.S. That's what's possible once these people are removed. And they are being removed.
I saw a picture on Facebook saying that the newest fighter plane the U.S. has been working on, they sunk like $40 billion into it or something. And it was the equivalent of buying every homeless person in America a $1.4 million mansion.
Yeah, I believe that's the sort of number you can come up with. And furthermore, that airplane is a turkey by all reports, you know. One of the worst reviewed U.S. airplanes in a very long time. According to experts, I mean. But, you know, this is just... And the other thing is that this huge army has not been serving the American people at all. It's been working for international corporations whose interests lie mostly outside the United States.
Well, when it comes down to this, of course, you were talking some time ago about the White Hat Society or something of that nature, that there was this kind of secret society sort of war going on. Is that still happening, or...?
Yeah, I mean, it's happening. It's the White Dragon Society and the White Hats and all sorts of groups now working to remove these people. And basically what we're dealing with is an ethnic mafia. They're, you know, I call them Khazarians. They originate in what the nation that was called Khazaria. And they're a very high-level crime syndicate, and what they've done is they've murdered billionaires over the years and taken over their fortunes. They've taken over the control of the central banks, and they have been very, very vicious and not very competent, you know, in running the planet. And they're being removed from power, and that's why And these people are desperately trying to start World War III to get themselves out of the fix they're in, but it's not going to happen. And I think their regime of control is now Washington, D.C., New York, Israel, Saudi Arabia. I think that's it now. They unfortunately, you know, much to my shame, Canada. But they're really at the end of their rope. And there's going to be a very serious reckoning, you know, because the people in the U.S. military and the agencies are furious. They're baying for blood. I'm of a group that's saying, no, we've got to, you know, realize these people were like a beautiful woman with syphilis, you know, and you cure the syphilis and you leave the beautiful woman, you know. And just, in other words, a few highly ranked, very vicious mob leaders will have to be removed, but you don't go after an entire ethnic group because they fell under the leadership of criminals. That's, you know, the stance.
That's one of the contexts I find very interesting about the emerging truth movement, is that this is very anti-Jewish, almost neo-Nazi type element coming out, who think that all Jews are to blame, not just the elite criminals.
Yeah, it's not, okay, I understand, but this is not a Jewish thing, okay? Let's get that clear. What we're talking about is a group, okay, they're linguistically, they speak a Germanic language, okay? Hebrew is not a Semitic language. It's not the language spoken by the nation of Judea that existed 3,500 years ago, okay? It's a Germanic language. The only people in the ancient Middle East who spoke an Indo-European language were people called the Hyksos. And they know this from 30,000 tablets they found at an old abandoned fortress in Turkey and from Egyptian writings. And the Egyptians said they worshipped a goat-faced god with a forked tail. In other words, what we call Satan, okay? The Jews worship Yahweh, and they're very honorable people. You must not mix them up. You know, there's basically, think of it like this. There's 16 million Jews, and hiding in their ranks are these Khazarians, who also pretend to be Muslims and Christians and other things. And it's not the Jewish thing. I need to make that important point very clear. I have Jewish ancestry myself, and they were all very honorable people.
Yeah. I can completely agree with that. My former producer was Jewish and a wonderful man. He taught me everything I know.
That is an important point that does need to be made. I mean, I think the military and the agency types understand that, and they know that it's not a Jewish problem, rather it's a large crime syndicate. A lot of them pretend to be Christian or Muslim, but they're not. For example, the Saudi royals are not Muslim, and although they pretend to be. And same with the Bush family. They pretend to be Christian, but they don't. They worship Satan, okay? This is the sort of thing they've been doing. But now, because of the internet and because of their own incompetence, they've been exposed. And it's going to be a very, very liberating thing for our planet. Because you imagine, you know, you've been ruled by gangsters, and now suddenly you're going to be ruled by decent people who are, you know, are trying to do the best for the average man, you know? And competent people, I should say, too. Not people got in there because they're part of the mob, but they got there because they were good at their job.
Do you feel that there's a propensity for people to sort of assume or carte blanche things in order to make them easier to understand?
Well, sometimes you have to do that. I mean, you know, you gotta sometimes look at forests and not trees if you want to understand the big picture. And of course, that means blurring some things out at the edges. But you know, in its fundamental base, I think the analysis is valid. You know, I mean, look at the U.S. Defense Agency, the Pentagon. They're now run by a guy called Ashton Carter, who has a PhD in theoretical physics, and he's a really smart guy who got as high as he could go through sheer talent in the old system before he hit a glass ceiling because he wasn't part of the mob. And instead, his predecessor, Chuck Hagel, I don't know if you ever watched the man speak in public, but clearly he was not the sort of person who should be at the top of an organization like that. Now we have some smart people at the top, and they're doing the right thing, and I think something big is coming down. I'm not sure what, but I have a feeling we're headed for something historical. Now, I don't like to use dates because many dates have come and gone and nothing's happened, but when I went to Italy to interview people at the P2 Freemason Lodge, these are the people who are above the Vatican. And by the way, they're not Christian. Their beliefs would be more like Zoroastrian. But they told me, and you know, I'm passing on what they told to me, that they planned historical events based on the movements of celestial objects, right? And they did social engineering, and they used the planets as their guidestones. If that's the case, well, this Friday we have a solar eclipse, a supermoon, and a spring equinox, which for these occult people are all significant. And three coming together is exactly the sort of day they choose to do something big, okay? I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's a probability there that you cannot, you know, that we need to keep an eye on.
I interviewed a guy who was a astrologer to the stars kind of thing, and he said that the elite have a massive interest in astrology and basically always have. And the poorer people think that it's all nonsense and what have you, but the elites actually hold a lot of stock in it.
Yeah, you know, when I was a market reporter, right, I noticed a lot of these traders put charts of the moon on their trading strategies, you know, and I said, why is that? And they said, well, some people believe the full moon affects markets. And because they do, we also do, go along with it, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so, you know, whether or not the stars affect us or not, the fact that very high-level elite think they do makes it happen. See what I mean? It could be just psychological, but it still has the effect. Just like you'll notice, I'm sorry, I'm not an expert on Jewish things, but I think there's something called Shemitah or something, that every time we have a huge market drop, it happens to come in this Jewish festival day when apparently they're supposed to clear their accounts. So again, it's a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy.
Almost like being caught in your own web that you've woven.
Well, there was a famous story about a mathematician who predicted the date of his death, and when that date came, he was so scared he committed suicide.
So good on you, son. Calculate your way out of that one.
But the other thing, of course, is that if you go to our most ancient knowledge, you know, what people really did need to look at the sky. I mean, they lived with the you know, they woke with the sun and they slept with the dark. And so tracking the planets is our oldest form of science. So it has very deep roots. You know, and people at the very highest levels of society are brought up in this tradition, and so, you know, it does affect us. I mean, I've had to start paying attention to the sky since, you know, starting reporting on these people, because it clearly does matter.
Well, I heard a analogy one time that it's kind of like a suicide bomber. Now, you may not believe in the same things that suicide bomber believes. Not that I believe that terrorism is a real threat. This is just an example. But regardless of what you believe, that person's belief wants is going to drive them to blow themselves up and kill you. So other people's beliefs can affect you, even if you don't share them.
But in any case, you know, leaving aside all that occult stuff, I mean, the fact of the matter is that we have a planetary crisis that we need to solve, and that means making a collective decision at the highest leadership level and the average level to do something about it. And what I've heard is that there are proposals, you know, for a major campaign like the Marshall Plan, but the Marshall Plan was limited to a few countries. This would be for the entire planet, like a huge campaign to end poverty, stop environmental destruction, and really, you know, fix up this planet. And I understand there's a high level consensus that this needs to be done, and I'm hoping that's what's going to start soon.
Well, we should all be hoping for that. I just always fear that when people are given good news or are expecting something good to happen, they, instead of hosing in like they should in the right time frame, they sit back and they relax and hope that other people are going to handle it. And I think that this is probably the direct opposite, actually. If people are putting themselves in the line and something good's coming down the pipe, that's your time to act. That's your time to contribute.
Exactly. And I do think that this time there are people who are actually actively contributing at a high level. I mean, I know it, in fact. I talked to a lot of these people. And my understanding is, again, the last holdouts are the people in New York and Washington, D.C., except not the Pentagon and not the agencies. They are now split from the political side of the Washington establishment, from my understanding. And then, of course, we have that known war criminal Netanyahu and his people in Israel, and then we have that horrific regime in Saudi Arabia. Now, their money has been frozen, according to people who phoned me and appeared to be very knowledgeable with such things. Of course, right now, these people are terrified and fear retribution. So the important thing now is to say, no, there's going to be forgiveness, so please don't do anything, dangerous or destructive. It's like a hostage situation in some ways, and we need to get these people to, release the hostages and be assured that they're not going to be killed or anything,
Is this a similar thing that happened in South Africa, where the South African whites who implemented apartheid were very afraid of reprisals, and Nelson Mandela and the ANC, in order to get their freedom or get their political representation, promised profusely that there would be no reprisals, that there would be no consequences, and then everybody allegedly started to live their life in peace, despite the fact that the country is now extremely corrupt.
Well, but hopefully in this case we're not, we're talking about a non-corrupt regime. The original rules of governance and doing the greatest good for the greatest number that made the West strong. And the work ethic. It's like that. We need to get these people to step aside, and in order to do that, since they have nuclear blackmail at their disposal, we need to assure them that. This is not about revenge. It's about, fixing the planet and building a better future for everybody, including, non-human living beings.
Well, the question is, do they care?
Of course they do. I mean, they have no choice. They except that, some of them are religious fanatics who really, really think that it's their destiny to make biblical prophecy into reality, and that it's inevitable, and they're fanatics, but it's not going to happen. Okay, they haven't been able to do it despite trying for so long and so hard. They're not going to start their false Armageddon. The militaries of China, Russia, everywhere else are not going to be fooled into a nuclear war. It's just not going to happen. These people need to wake up from their brainwashed delusion and understand that the future is something we all have to decide together now. It's not based on some ancient book. We have to all, as a human species, collectively decide what sort of planet we want, what sort of future we want to build, and then make it happen.
Okay, I understand that you have to go. So feel free to just hang on up there, Ben. I want to thank you very much for popping into the show at such short notice. I really appreciate it, man.
No problem. You have a nice day.
You too, brother.